This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Healthy baby skin starts from the bottom. Pampers Swaddlers diapers absorb wetness away from the skin better than the leading value brand, with up to 100% leak-proof protection to help keep your baby's skin dry. Don't forget to pair Pampers diapers with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes. They clean better and are 5 times stronger than Huggies Natural Care for easy cleanup without fear of tearing, no matter the mess. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Aloha! When I was in Hawaii, I kept saying hola, as in hello in Espanol. And then about one day before we left, I realized I probably should be saying aloha so I don't sound so much like a tourist. But now that I've started, now I can't stop. I keep saying aloha, even though Hawaii's in the rearview mirror. So aloha to you, or hola, or just yo, what's up? No, I should never say that ever. I hope you had a good weekend. We are back together. It is Sunday night. We're going to usher in the start of the work week. I have for my kiddos at church, my fourth and fifth graders, Sunday mornings this time of the year. I have to ask them how many days left in the school year, how many days left. And almost every single one of them will start counting on their fingers the number of days. And then they'll explain to me, well, there's this many days until school is done, but there's this many days of actual school. Some of them have to explain how they're only half days the last week of school. So, yeah, you get to this point and people get antsy about summertime, especially fourth and fifth graders. So I know a lot of you are probably antsy about summertime, or maybe you're already taking advantage of some summertime post Memorial Day weekend. I don't officially consider it summer. This is kind of sad, actually, but it's a referendum on my life and how long I've been working in this business. I don't officially consider it in summer until the winter sports champions are crowned. These are winter sports, hoops and hockey. And we're nowhere near. Well, I guess we're getting closer after 2 months. But we're not to the point where we can say, sayonara winter sports. Not yet. We've got at least 2 more games in basketball and at least 3 more in hockey, though I hope we get longer series than those. Game 2 of the NBA Finals in the books, and so we'll talk about it coming up momentarily. Questions for the Celtics? I don't know. If they can start out the game shooting 0 for 11 from downtown, if Jason Tatum can shoot as poorly as he did, not that he is ever absentee, he's not. He finds other ways to affect the game. And on this particular night, he had 12 assists and 9 rebounds. And he did hit some critical shots late. But he's also drawing a lot of the attention. Jrue Holiday fills the void. Jaylen Brown is defending the lights out. And also the one who is vocally encouraging his teammates, keeping their heads in it, making sure even when they're down early and don't actually have a lead in this game until about midway through the second quarter, even then, he's keeping them up. Even then, he's keeping them focused and keeping them on track. And yes, Luka Doncic did play. And even though he couldn't get up and down the floor or move quickly, now I wouldn't say he's Speedy Gonzalez in any stretch of the imagination. That's not Luka. But he can move a little more easily when he's not dealing with some type of an injury to his midsection. Rib area, probably, maybe bruised or damaged ribs. And there was a time on Sunday when we weren't sure if he would play. His condition was downgraded to doubtful for game number two, but he did play. He just didn't move very well. He shot okay. His numbers didn't look as great by the time the game was over, but first half, he was the one powering the Mavericks to their lead. Some crazy passes, no look, behind the head. Some worked out, some didn't. I mean, he was definitely into taking chances in this game, but he cannot do it by himself. And you could tell that he was feeling it in the second half. Not to mention, if there's no Kyrie Irving that you have to worry about, if Kyrie is still taking more shots than he is scoring points, well, then Luka is your number one challenge. I mean, you'll get a spurt from PJ Washington here and there. You might get a few threes from Derek Jones, though not necessarily in this series so far. Derek Lively's really active. They did have a few alley-oops, Dallas, which is something the Celtics had kind of shut down in game number one. But without a Kyrie Irving who's providing every last second of creative, innovative, slashing, slicing, dicing offense, they need his offense. They really do. They need games where Luka and Kyrie score about, I don't know, 30, 35 each. And then they need something from the role players. Right now, the Celtics are just too deep. So I guess the question would be, what about Kristaps Porzingis? He's been a jolt of energy off the bench in both of these first two games. But Al Horford, I mean, he's starting. And when KP needs to sit, Horford is right there on the court. When I spoke to longtime Celtics voice Sean Grandy last week, I asked him, and you can find this conversation on both Twix and Facebook. It's recently posted in the last 12 hours, just in advance of game number two for people to hear it again. I asked him the Celtics' vulnerabilities, and he gave me a couple areas where they might be vulnerable. But it's pretty clear that when the Celtics play to their depth and they play to their strengths, and we saw it against the Pacers as well, even when they get behind, they can come back. Whether or not they're underdogs for game three in Dallas, Celtics have got the Mavericks right where they want them. So I need to see something extra. I need to see another gear from Dallas. It's worth noting, against the Warriors, this is how the first two games started out. Golden State won the first. No, I take that back. Golden State won the first one in 22. Oh, no. Celtics won the first one in 22, and Golden State answered. But the Celtics were up 1-0 and then 2-1 in that series and ended up losing. They never won again after they took the 2-1 lead. So the series is not over, but Kyrie has got to be more of an offensive impact. Of course, that was a major point of contention and conversation after this one with Jason Kidd and with the Dallas Mavericks locker room. Though it's Luka Doncic taking the blame for them losing, despite a triple-double, he takes the blame for them losing in game number two. And you'll hear him coming up as well. What really made the difference, despite the Celtics' poor shooting for the first half specifically, what really made the difference in this one, the defense was dynamic. Intense, physical, up for the challenge, and even able to, in many cases, have just one guy on Luka and one guy on Kyrie. There were enough turnovers that were forced. The Celtics could use those for transition buckets, or at the very least, take away possessions from the Mavericks. So the defense made a difference in this one and kept them close within striking distance even before the Celtics found their groove offensively. There are a lot of elements about the Mavericks that I liked. They only had 9 assists in the opener, 21 assists in this game too, which is big. They outscored the Celtics in the paint, and they did lead for most of the first half. But again, it comes back to needing more offensive options than Luka Doncic, needing more from Kyrie and from the other Mavericks. Anybody? Did anybody want to step up? Daniel Gafford had nearly a double-double in this one, and the entire starting lineup was in double figures. But they need more from Kyrie, who had just the 16. That's not enough against a Celtics team that has, what, 6 guys who can hurt you. So we'll talk about hoops. We'll get to Saturday night on the ice, where the Panthers and Sergei Bobrovsky get, or Bob, as they call him. And I'm partial to the name Bob, the nickname Bob, for obvious reasons. Sergei, Bob, he and the Panthers, that defense, the way that they are able to stick to their identity is so impressive. Even though we saw a bunch of shots generated, more so for the Oilers than the Rangers in the Eastern Conference Finals, but Bob was, he was game. And now the Panthers, for the first time in their franchise history, have a lead in the Stanley Cup Final. So we'll get to hockey. The latest controversy surrounding Caitlin Clark, which, oy, it's becoming a little bit too soap opera-ish. And I don't blame Caitlin for this, or really the WNBA. Honestly, I'm a little embarrassed by some of the media narratives around Caitlin Clark right now. It's embarrassing. Even colleagues of mine who have been in this business for a really long time are still coming up with these ridiculous hot takes that I wonder, can they really actually believe? For instance, here's one. Like USA Women's Basketball is cutting off its nose to spite its face, and I'm paraphrasing, keeping Caitlin off the U.S. Olympics team just because they don't want her to get all the attention. Or leaving her off the team and somehow being oblivious to the fact that she's the biggest draw. Here's the thing. When you put U.S. Olympic teams together, you're not doing it so that fans will tune in. That's not your concern as a U.S. selection committee or USA Basketball putting together this team. They're not concerned about whether or not there's going to be record viewership. That's not the role of USA Basketball. It's to put together a team that has the best chance to win. And while they do have a couple rookies on this team, for the most part, it's experienced Olympic veterans. Women who have won gold once, twice, 3 times in the past. It's the deepest women's basketball team on the planet. And while I wish Caitlin could experience it, she's got time. She's 22. She's got time. It's a team that's really deep at the guard position, which is the position that Caitlin plays. Now, there is some value to having her maybe deep on the bench where she isn't going to play a lot, but she can be part of the practice and the process of preparing for a U.S. Olympic debut and for the Paris Games. I like that idea because I do think she'll be critical to USA Basketball moving forward. She has played at the junior level, so she's not a stranger to repping the red, white, and blue. But this idea that she was left off on purpose or with no thought to whether or not fans would tune in. There are other, I would say, more important goals when you're repping your nation in an Olympics, like winning the gold. And it's a longstanding tradition for USA women's basketball. I wish she was on the team. I think it would be exciting to see her in a different setting with some of these women that she's now facing in the WNBA. But there are other women who've been left off the team, not just once or twice, but multiple times. Really good players in the WNBA. I don't think that she should be put on the team just for the idea of fan support and fans tuning in. Because Americans, theoretically, should be supporting our teams at the Olympics anyway. So yeah, the USA Basketball Selection Committee is not concerned about ratings or TV viewership. They're trying to put together a team that can win a title, win the gold medal. I wish she was on it. I think it would be cool. But I don't know that it's a snub based on anything other than they think they have a better group. It's obviously very competitive. And keep this in mind, too. I'm not sure how many of you remember this. Caitlin missed the USA basketball training camp. It was the same weekend as the Final Four. And because Iowa was still playing, because Iowa not only won the national semifinal, but then had to play in the championship, then got to play in the championship against South Carolina, Caitlin really wasn't able to participate in that training camp. Again, I think the world of her. I believe that she does make players around her better, but there is something to be said for experience and a group of women who've played together before. As you're watching with the Indiana Fever, while they have three wins now, and I believe they're getting better, you can't not with players as talented as they've drafted the last couple years, but it takes some time to assimilate a group of teammates who can compete at the highest level and do it without much prep time. Remember, the Olympics start in late July, and these ladies are all going to be playing for their WNBA teams until they have kind of it's a 3-week break. And so they have a couple of weeks, really not even a couple of weeks, because they have to travel to Paris and get acclimated there. They've got very limited time to work together. It's not even as long a run-up as USA Soccer or the U.S. soccer teams, because they're not in season, so to speak, always. In the case of the WNBA women's basketball, they're in season. They take a break. The whole league shuts down. The women get together who are playing and traveling, and then they have to get to Paris and be ready to go. So, again, it helps to have women who know each other well and who've played together before. Congratulations to Sabrina Ionescu. She gets to go. How awesome is that? It's her first time. And so I appreciate how well Caitlin has handled all the furor around it. I'm not so sure about the media. Like I said, I'm a little bit embarrassed by some of the reaction to it, as though some of these people have never watched basketball in their lives and have never watched women's basketball and don't recognize that the team is top notch. Now, there is a hope that Caitlin will end up on the team as a possible alternate. Right? Or if someone gets hurt between now and then, I don't know how high she was on the list. Maybe she was the first one not picked. You know, the whole conversation around March Madness, last four in, first four out. Maybe she was among the first four out, so to speak. And if that's the case, she might still end up on the team. You know how it goes for Pro Bowl teams and All-Star teams. When athletes get injured, you've got the next people that are invited to step up. And maybe that will be the case. I don't want to just assume that this is because they don't want Caitlin on the team because she attracts too much attention. Or it might be a circus. That annoys me. Maybe let's just give these women and the selection committee, and I know Jennifer Rosati personally. I worked with her for nearly a decade. She's all about winning. She's got that Bill Belichick, Gino Auriemma quality to her. And actually, she trained under Gino. Whatever they need to win. She can be pretty ruthless when she needs to be. I've seen her in action. It's all about the team. She played for USA Basketball herself. She's won medals herself. And then her group comes from, you know, variety, a different variety of basketball walks of life. So I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. It just is, yeah, it's gross. Some of the narratives are coming out as if it's just about making this a soap opera. And I don't think that helps anyone, but I guess maybe it gets clicks and bumps ratings. So we'll talk about that as well. The French Open ends with a brand new champion, although now he's got three major titles, three different events. And Scottie Scheffler, he might be the closest thing to unstoppable since Tiger Woods. It's amazing what the world number one is able to do. So there's a lot to get to, a little bit of baseball as well, because Phillies and Mets were in London. You know what I thought of? If a tree falls in the woods and no one's there to hear it, does it actually make any noise? I felt like there was so little buzz around this London series. Probably a lot of people who didn't even know what was happening outside of Philadelphia and New York and the fan bases. Yankees-Dodgers got a lot of buzz in New York. I was out with family on Saturday. We were doing some sightseeing, mostly in Lower Manhattan, and there were Dodgers uniforms everywhere. Everywhere, you guys. People who came in for the series, likely. I saw a bunch of Ohtani jerseys. They came in for the series, and then they stayed for the three games, and then managed to cram in some sightseeing as well. It was neat. Although, yeah, kind of interesting to see so many. But he's definitely an athlete. To answer a question from last week, an athlete that fans will tune in solely for him, if that's all they get. Right? Like, he's one that, like Caitlin Clark, brings new eyeballs and earballs and fans to the sport and to his team specifically. So, love to connect with you on Twix at A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. And I did put a few posts up on Sunday so you can find those. Oh gosh, I have to tell you about the documentary I watched over the weekend that blew me away. It was amazing. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. It's toll free. And we're just getting started. We'll get to some hoops next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on the Infinity Sports Network.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Tatum into the corner. Derek White, he's looking for the five-point lead right now, and he's got it.
They threw that ball behind him. Not a good pass, but good shot.
5 quick points for the Celtics to break the tie, 62-57. Luka hounded by Derek White, loses the ball, snatched away from him by Pritchard. 4-on-1, Pritchard for Tatum, drop for the trailer. Jaylen Brown flies in for the two-hand slam. Luka's 7th turnover is a big one. 85-76, Boston by 9. Washington missed the dunk, but the rebound comes all the way out to Holiday. He throws out to an open Derek White, 4-3.
Now we're cooking. Now you give me some doggone gas.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Grandy and Max, that's the Celtics broadcast team. Game 2 of the NBA Finals, and it took them a while before they could hit a triple. The Celtics started out 0-for-11 from beyond the arc, but allowed the rest of the guys room to shoot, right? So you've got Jason Tatum, who's not shooting well, Jaylen Brown, who's being more aggressive, driving the hoop. You've got Derek White and Peyton Pritchard, guys who weren't hitting threes early. Like I said, really nobody was. And yet, Joe Mazzulla and the Celtics are on the court. They're still working to get those open shots from three, because the three is very much a part of what they do. And when they start dropping, it's really hard to reel the Celtics in. And so they do that late in this game and are able to rally first from, I think what was a 7-point deficit was the largest they trailed. And then, so there was an early 9-0 run. And then in the third quarter, they finished up strong and had 10 consecutive points. And at that juncture, while the Mavericks got a little bit closer late in the game, they never did give up the lead again. So here's where it stands. In these playoffs, the Celtics have won 9 in a row. It's never happened in their franchise history. Not the days of Havlicek or Russell or Cousy or Bird or any of McHale, any of the Pierce, Garnett, any of the former champions and the greats going back and obviously left many of them off. But those are just a few different eras. No Celtics team has ever won 9 in a row in the postseason. They're now 14-2 in these playoffs. Funny enough, the two games they've lost have come at home, though not yet in this NBA Finals series. They've trailed by as many as 18 and rallied to win. They come up with big shots when they need them, but also steadily will beat down opponents with their defense. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find me on Twix at A-Law Radio and then also on our Facebook page. So a couple of big blocks again by Kristaps Porzingis, though he appeared to be hobbled a little bit with the calf maybe stepping on it wrong and had trouble accelerating late in the game, was finally subbed out with a few minutes to go. But it wasn't just Porzingis. It was Jaylen Brown who was challenging. It was Derek White who was challenging. And there was a juncture late in the game, late in the fourth quarter, where it feels like the Mavericks could have potentially put on an even greater charge or gotten closer, made this one-possession game in the final stages. Appeared like they were heading with a fast break to a game that could have been a lot closer in the end.
Tatum, left-hand dribble. Luka guarding him. Tatum dribbles between his legs, attacks the paint, hangs in the air. Ball knocked away from him by Jones. Dallas can make it a one-possession game. Bounce pass lead, but blocked from behind. Jaylen Brown on Washington. Celtics get it back. Jaylen makes the saving play.
It was a twofer, actually. It was Jaylen Brown and it was Derek White. So the both of them were up and got a hand on the ball and made sure that ball did not get to the rim. And that big defensive stop late was a huge piece of them being able to dribble out the clock as opposed to the Mavericks having a late shot at it. The way that the Celtics play defense, it gives them an advantage because they're physical, number one. So they're wearing down a Luka Doncic that's already banged up and bruised. And number two, they do have guys that will take runs at Kyrie Irving solo. How many times did Jaylen Brown have a poke steal or just poke the ball away from either Kyrie or Luka in this game? And then that takes time off the clock and they have to go chase it. And it really helps the Celtics when they can play straight up D and not have to double team a lot. So that's what they're trying to do if they can, and just run fresh legs and fresh bodies at Luka. He did finish with a triple-double and 4 steals. So 32 points, 11 rebounds, 11 assists, and 4 steals. But he also turned the ball over 8 times. And so that was the reason why he was blaming himself for this Game 2 loss.
Luka, it looked like you had an interaction with this Celtics owner. Did he do something or say something that you thought was over the line?
I'm sorry, I don't know who's the Celtics owner.
Was there somebody in the first row that you were having an exchange with that was the Celtics owner?
No, obviously it didn't work because we lost. But you know, at the end of the day, we gotta make some more shots. You know, I think my turnovers and my missed free throws cost us a game. So I got to do way better in those two categories. But at the end of the day, we got to make shots to win the game.
Raise your hand if you believe that Luka Doncic did not know that he was jawing back and forth with the Celtics owner. Whit Grosbeck is his name. And actually, there's video on social. Now, the NBA put the video out there where this is in the I think it's third quarter or so. There's a video of him with a bit of a turnaround jumper. And in the corner where the owner sits it appears as though he is talking smack to the Celtics owner, but he says he has no idea who the Celtics owner is, but it's a video or a clip that you will see over and over again. And the owner of the Celtics is enjoying the interaction, to be sure, and no doubt is enjoying the 2-0 lead in the NBA Finals. So yeah, Luka blames himself for the turnovers because there were 8 of them. And those are tough. The Celtics will make you pay for the turnovers. But also the fact that there were a bunch of missed free throws. Now, if you think about it, Celtics win by 7. The Mavericks miss 8 free throws. Doesn't necessarily mean that they'd win the game if they made all of their free throws, but it might have been a one possession game. It might have given them confidence or stopped a Celtics run or a Celtics barrage at one point. A big issue is Kyrie Irving. The Celtics are defending him a lot of the time with Derek White or Jaylen Brown. They're going straight up. Now, he's still getting good looks. He's still seeing some open shots when they swing the ball around the perimeter or when they're on the break. And so far hasn't been able to connect the way that the Mavericks need him to do. So he has 16 points. He goes 7 of 18 from the floor. So similar to first game where he didn't shoot well. I did have 6 assists, but right now the Mavericks desperately need him to step up.
He had great looks. He just didn't go down. That's just the game of basketball. Sometimes you make them, sometimes you don't. You continue to keep playing. He had some good looks that just didn't go down for him tonight.
Gotta give them credit. They kept competing. We kept competing. We just got to stay together in some of the tough times throughout the game, where it, you know, could be a 4-point lead on them or a 4-point lead that we have. We just got to keep competing, and I think we'll be in a better place. But feel good.
Even though he would tell you that he's not paying attention to the crowd and he's past that now and he's more mature and he's not going to get rattled by what the crowd is doing, he did say after the first game, honestly, I thought they'd be louder. And then every single time that he touched the ball in game 2, I kind of felt like the Celtics fans would be a dog with a bone and at one point would just get bored with it. Oh, no. Every time he touches the ball, they're still booing. So it hasn't gotten old yet. And these next 2 games, they go to Dallas, right? And so by the time game 5 would roll around, if game 5 rolls around for these NBA Finals, if the Mavericks can win 1 in Dallas, it'll at least push it to a game 5. Well, I'm sure the fans in Boston, A, would love to see a champion crowned on their own court, as opposed to celebrating it remotely. And B, would love to give Kyrie one last earful, especially if it's in a clinching game and the Boston Celtics win at Kyrie's expense. Now, at the beginning of the game, Luka, well, before the game, not even beginning of the game, before the game, he was wrapped up tightly, almost swaddled. He looked like a mummy in some ways around his midsection, his ribs, and he looked to be moving gingerly. Weren't sure whether or not he was going to play. He was downgraded to doubtful. Ultimately, he did play in this game and played as much as he possibly could, and actually said that he spent most of the day, even though he was wrapped up, kind of preparing to be out there as tough as it was.
I always want to play. So we did all day. We did a lot of things to get ready for the game.
I know that the doubtful would kind of indicate that maybe he's not going to be out there. I think that a lot of times those injury designations are supposed to be straight up and honest as much as possible. But you have to think that unless Luka was unable to walk or bend at the waist, he was going to be out there. I can't imagine he was going to miss this, even if he's not the same guy. The problem is when he's out there, even when he's fully healthy, he's a bit of a defensive liability. He works at it. He's not a great defender, right? Kyrie is a bit of a defensive liability. Defense is not his thing. So with a hobbled Luka and a Kyrie who right now is not hitting his shots, and so maybe not playing with that same confidence, working so hard on both ends of the court, you've got 2 guys that the Celtics can exploit in terms of matchups. And so that plays into their hands. And I'm not saying the Mavericks are better off with someone else who's fully healthy but doesn't play like Luka. That's ridiculous. This game's not even remotely close without Luka's 30-point triple-double. But he definitely is a bit of a sitting duck right now for the Celtics defense, too. And also on offense, on both ends of the court, they recognize what he's dealing with and what they're dealing with. On Twix, A-Law Radio, love to hear from you. We'll hear from some of the Celtics post-game, including the question about Kristaps Porzingis. Also on our Facebook page, it's great to connect with you. I've got a couple of fun stories to tell you from the weekend always. My mother-in-law thinks I eat too much. Well, not too much. She just makes a lot of comments about how much I eat. Huh. All right, that's fun. I'm trying not to read between the lines. Anyway, we're enjoying her visit, and we'll get to you, Bob, in Michigan, if you want to hang on through the update. Here is our latest sports update, and here's Pat Boyle.
Doors take us to summers away or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
When you visit a state as big and diverse as Texas, there are a million different trips you can take. Let's say you've got an appetite for whitewater kayaking. You can get your own.
So this is why they call it Devil's River.
Trip to Texas. Or maybe you have an actual appetite. I'll take a pound of brisket, six ribs, three links of sausage, and a piece of pecan pie. Trip to Texas. Go to TravelTexas.com/get-your-own for the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The ball comes in and the clock hits triple zeros. How many different ways do you have to win games on the way to a championship? Tonight in game two of the NBA Finals, there was nothing pretty until the clock hit triple zeros.
I'm really tired of hearing about one guy or this guy or that guy and everybody trying to make it out to be anything other than Celtic basketball. And everybody that stepped on that court tonight made winning plays on both ends of the floor. That's the most important thing. And then to answer your question, Jason makes greatness look easy. He does it in a lot of different ways. He does it on defense. He does it on rebounding. He does it on passing. He does it on screening. He's a tremendous player and hard to coach him. And he has the ability to affect the game in different ways. We're a different team. But it takes everybody to do it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If you're looking for some controversy from the NBA Finals beyond Kyrie Irving and the fans' ongoing feud with him in Boston, Jason Kidd, you can say it was gamesmanship. I don't know. This feels like a kind of a cheap trick if it really was intended to try to get under Jason Tatum's skin, or maybe it was just about getting the media to ask a bunch of questions and somehow that might distract the Celtics. And the edge is there in Joe Mazzulla's voice. But Jason Kidd called Jaylen Brown the best player on the Celtics. Well, according to the NBA voters and the NBA at large, that's actually Jason Tatum. He's been all NBA first team multiple times. In fact, Jaylen Brown didn't even make the All-NBA team this year, which I think was an oversight. You want to talk about a snub, that's probably more of an argument than, say, the Caitlin Clark. But for Jason Kidd to think that that might work, Jason Tatum wasn't going to take the bait. Joe Mazzulla wasn't going to take the bait. And if you know anything about these Celtics, you know that there have been these rumblings and grumblings and reports and rumors about how the two Jays, Jalen and Jason, don't get along. Even if they don't, which I don't think it's true, but even if they don't, it's not a requisite for them to win an NBA title. Like, not every teammate gets along. Think Shaq and Kobe. Not every teammate likes the other teammates in the locker room. Anybody who played sports knows that. I played with teammates that I couldn't stand. But the whole idea behind being a team is that once you step on the court, the field, the ice, that goes away for the common good. Liking each other is not necessary. The two of them have one of the most formidable duos in the NBA. And so I'm not sure that this was going to work. And that's what I mean. It feels like a cheap trick by Jason Kidd. I can't imagine he actually thought it was going to work. But Joe Mazzulla was tired of talking about it. And even though Jason Tatum didn't shoot well, he still had a dozen assists, one shy of his career high in any game, and 9 rebounds. And he says it doesn't matter to him who gets the credit right now. It's just about one thing, and that's the bling.
It has a lot to do with that. You know, I've been here before, and we didn't win. And it's just like, you know, we're so close to what we're trying to accomplish. Why would I let my ego or feel my need to score all the points get in the way of that?
Yeah, it, to me, that was never going to work. Kristaps Porzingis, he looked to be hobbling late in this game and actually got subbed out for Al Horford, though he had another good performance coming off the calf injury.
I'm feeling good, yeah, I don't think it's anything serious, but we'll look at it tomorrow and go from there, but all good, I'll be good.
23 minutes for him off the bench. He was 0 for 3 from downtown. A lot of Celtics were missing shots from beyond the arc. But he was perfect from the free throw line. He had 12 points, 4 rebounds, a couple of dynamic block shots. Doris Burke in one juncture, as well as Cedric Maxwell, noted on the broadcast that he looked like he was hobbling late in the game. And Al Horford did come back in for him. But he says he doesn't feel like it's anything serious. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Bob is waiting in Michigan, wants to weigh in on the Caitlin Clark Olympic team conundrum. What do you think, Bob?
Hi, Amy. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Here's the situation with Caitlin Clark. And I applaud you for talking about the media and the way they've handled this. Here's the key. I hark back to the 1980 Lake Placid Olympic gold medal ice hockey team when Herb Brooks put his team together. He put it together in a relatively short period of time. And there was some of the best collegiate players throughout the country that went to Lake Placid to try and make that team. Brooks had his team chosen within the first couple of days, not because he needed to get the best players, he needed to get the right players to help him get a chance to get a gold medal for Team USA. And that's the situation that's being faced with Caitlin Clark right now. I give her credit for the way she's handling this as well. And so I think that there is something to be said for this situation. But the only difference is this. Caitlin Clark has proven that she is a rare entity. She is, I believe that she has more talent than 80% of the women in the WNBA right now. However, having said that, that pure talent may not be good enough to win gold. I mean, it's like Herb Brooks said when he was working out the guys in Finland when they lost or tied an exhibition game. You can't win a gold medal on talent. You can't win it on talent alone. So there's something to be said there, and I applaud you for your reaction to the way the media has handled this. And Caitlin Clark could help the team, sure. However, I don't think this is the time.
Based on what? The fact that she's a rookie? Based on, I mean, what? Because obviously at Iowa, she raised the level of play of everyone else around her.
That's true. But you indicated in your comments earlier that she can help this team. I personally believe that she can. However, you can't win it on pure talent alone. If Team USA knows what it takes to bring back the gold, and they don't think that Caitlin Clark is a part of their plans, then they have to make that decision, and they have to live with the consequences. Personally, I think it would be nice to see her on the team. I think she could help. I think she's a great ball handler. I think she has a great shot. She has a consistent outside shot more than what a lot of the WNBA players have. And
I got
think
you.
WNBA,
thank you,
WNBA
Bob.
Knows that too.
Sorry, I appreciate that. I don't think they left her off on purpose. I think the idea is to win, and it's super competitive. So I'll agree with you on that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
TuneIn is the audio platform with something for everyone. News.
In order to secure convictions in a court of law, it is essential that we conclusively.
Sports.
Shot clock at 4. Doncic. The step back 3. You bet.
Music.
You set my world on fire. Yes,
and even podcasts. Whatever you love, hear it right here on TuneIn. Go to TuneIn.com or download the TuneIn app to start listening.